we're going to talk to Indiana Peoples in a couple of minutes here. Obviously, someone you guys like coming out of the draft, but what kind of stands out is he's not the prototypical size of most of your room. What's really stood out about him, and what allows him to combat the fact that he's not as big as some of your typical defensive linemen?
Fub is one of the most explosive defensive linemen I've ever coached or evaluated on tape. He uses his explosiveness, obviously, like in the run and in the pass, and he gets his hands on people, you know, quicker than they can get their hands on him. And so in the run game, that helps him a lot. Obviously, in the pass game, he's good with transitioning, getting on edges. That's kind of probably what pops off just naturally on tape. But taking that explosiveness and, you know, putting in the way that we play our run technique, you know, with square pads and fast hands and all the things, kind of has helped him kind of like, you know, rise the charts as it relates to competing out here. The way he practiced, I expected him to perform well, so yes. But he prepares, like, the guys in our group. I mean, you got Beeks, you got Trav, you got Broad, you have people who have, you know, a lot of reps under their belt that's also in there, you know, guiding them and helping them along the way. And so for him to take, you know, the prep off the field and then bring the energy and the effort and the want to and the technique on the field, kind of expect him to perform well. Yes, sir.
Like your best kind of remaining pass rushers, any of them, I guess, could be kind of double teams on any given pass rushing situation. Does that make your job tougher or easier as you kind of think about game plans and how to counteract what other teams are serving against?
Whenever you're game planning for pass rush and stuff like that, you want to try to create ways to get one-on-ones with those guys, you know, whether it's how you present something or, you know, a formation or whatever that might be. And so, you know, just as coaches, and Zach does an incredible job of, you know, calling it that way, and we kind of do a good job of working in that way to create those one-on-ones. Now, if it is times where, you know, guys are getting doubled, right? I mean, that doesn't take away expectation of getting pushed or still disrupting the passer, but then somebody somewhere else is getting a one-on-one, you know? And so just playing it as a group, you know, rushing and attacking the quarterback with four or five, whatever the call requires, it's kind of like how we approach it.
And it's, I know you don't have the final call, but these decisions are made in consultation with a lot of people. How difficult are the roster decisions going to be with how well a bunch of your guys have played, you know, along the defensive front?
Incredibly difficult. Kind of like what Coach Harb said before, you know, it's a good problem because you got guys out here competing. You got guys every day showing up, giving it everything that they have. You got guys who come out here learning new plays, new techniques for the first time in their career and, like, just hitting it 100%. Not bad and I. If someone makes an error, like, they shake it and they come right back to it and get better at it. And so that right there just raises the level of the group, which raises the level of the defense, which raises the level of the team. And so having that, you know, closeness and competitiveness, I mean, is a good thing. We don't look at it like a bad thing when it comes down to it at the end. A couple, I will say. Big CJ for sure. Just remember him. He's walking in here, you know, raw, but really taking to the techniques and wanting to be good and wanting to learn. And again, it's a room full of guys who are going to put on their work hat every day and show up. So if you don't, it's kind of you would stand out. And just allowing himself to be coached hard, to be pushed hard past probably what he's used to. So Big CJ for sure. I mean, And all the guys, I mean, Cam, Fub, you know, rookies, Jason. I mean, every one of those guys have really come in and, you know, kind of exceeded expectations a little bit.
Dennis, what do you think the next phase of the development of Travis Jones is?
I expect Travis to be the best player on the field whenever he's on the field in general. And I think that Travis expects that for himself, just to be more dominant and more consistent with being dominant. You know, last year, you know, had some injuries up and down, but really looking for this year for him just to really go out there, you know, from the start to the finish and just be the powerful run-stopping, pass-rushing nose tackle that he is.
Travis and Namdi, their race off the field. Mm-hmm. A little extra competition. Did you,
Do you encourage that?
No.
What do you see?
They compete in everything that they do. Those two, I mean, it doesn't matter. It could be a question asked in a meeting. It could be out here in a practice. It could be a pass rush. It could be a show. It could be in a walkthrough. I mean, they're almost like joined at the hip a little bit, you know, and they spend a lot of time together, you know, on the field, which is, and especially in the interior part of the D-line, like, you know, what people refer to as the trenches, like you need a brother in arms. And, like, they spend enough time off the field together, on the field together, and they play together as one. And so attacking the field or getting off the field, to them, it's all about being competitive.
And it's a couple of drafts, best pass rushes last year, I think, happened with that club move, that hump move. I guess how rare is that to have that in your tool bag and to be able to kind of use it successfully as he does?
I mean, you got to be a powerful individual to do it. You know, it's a power move. And I know Chuck works on it with him a lot, too, you know, sometimes pre-practice and post-practice. And so it's a move that he's seen that he wanted to really, you know, kind of make his own. And he's still working at it. You've seen it in games before show up. But, I mean, it's not a move for everybody. You know what I'm saying? Like, you have to have some strength to you and some natural power to execute it. Because, I mean, you're talking about, you know, moving a grown man against his will, basically, you know, with power and leverage. And so it could be challenging. That's a good question.
Zach Boros talking about how comforting it is to bring Brent Urban back. What has it been like for you to have him back?
I missed Herb when he wasn't around. Herb, like, I still remember when I first got here and just how, you know, comforting Herb can be in a room, in a setting, on a field. A vet with a lot of experience, he could take techniques, sometimes tweak them and make them his own a little bit, but being very effective with it. In the meeting room, he's awesome. You know, if somebody doesn't completely understand something, you know, he was like, oh, it's, you know, kind of like this, you know, for the person that doesn't understand it. Always a joy, always smiling. You know, it could be in the middle of camp, it's super hot. You know, we don't rent tempo and all type of deals. And, you know, he still got that big smile. Like, come on, guys, we got it. Love having Herb around.
What do you like about John Jenkins as you guys try to fill that, you know, collectively fill the void that Michael Pierce is
leaving? I mean, John, very similar to Herb, like high-energy guy, very smart, intelligent, you know, taken to the defense with ease a little bit, taken to some of the techniques with ease a little bit. And he's, you know, he's been around the league. And so he's brought things that he's learned in his career, you know, here, and the things that, you know, he feels like can help with the play. He kind of, like, you know, brings up. But I like having a John around. John is awesome. He's incredible.
All right. Great. Thank you.
Thank y'all.
Appreciate it.
Y'all have a good one.